This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. My name, as you should all know, is Leonard Sands, along here with...
And my name is Deborah Deal. You should know my name, too.
Yeah, she should.
By now.
Yeah.
Because we're not going anywhere.
Well, maybe we may. I may. I don't know.
You could do the radio.
I don't know. I'm Debbie. Yeah. I can tell you what, and I'll be honest with not only yourself, and also the listening audience. I'm a doer. Mm-hmm. I'm a doer and I'm an idea person. I come up with an idea and I do it. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I come up with another idea and I do that. Mm-hmm. I'm consistently idea do. Mm-hmm. That's my cycle. Okay. Idea do. Idea do, probably not my thing. Idea do. That's why I chose project management for the same thing. Mm. I know my wife asked, why did I choose career project management? Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to consistently have to change. No two projects are exactly the same. Mm-hmm. I have no choice.
Yeah.
Every time I approach a new client, mm-hmm. a new customer, it's a change. It's not the same as the last one. I could learn mm-hmm. from experience of the past. And so I tell people, you could go into banking. Mm-hmm. And if you started one company, you could be there for 30 years doing the same thing. And I can't do it either. Yeah.
No, but I love what I do. I mean, I'm a contractor.
But it's not the same every day. It's not the same.
Every job is different.
Every job is different. That's what I love. That's why I chose the career. And I just knew that that works for my personality. So that segues into my little spiel.
Okay.
Part of, you know, the challenge that I have, why I say I don't know how long I could do things like this, is because mm-hmm. it comes to a place where you do, you expect change. You expect something to move forward. You expect mm-hmm. progress. Mm-hmm. And then there's none. I'm not one of those individuals who could just settle with that space. I'm just not that guy.
But the show doesn't have to be
about changing. No, I'm not talking about the show.
Changing other people.
The people may be different. I'm just saying, mm-hmm. you know, it may not be when someone opens up the show. It may not be the Leonard Sands voice you hear or the Debbie Deal voice. It just has the show is core. Uh-huh. But the presenters may have to change. It's something for further down the road. Mm-hmm. And I say that in the face of, I had an interesting call today. One of a friend of mine, in fact, he's my cousin, and he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm making an application for something, and they asked me for my contractor's license. And I'm like, What did they ask you for? They asked me for my contractor's license. I said, you know,
that kind of
doesn't exist at this point in time. What do you mean? But they say I must have my contractor's license. I say you could get a business license. See, that's not what they asked for. They asked for, and you know who asked for it? The business license department. The business license department, because he's transitioning one business from general maintenance into general construction, and he wanted to just change over the trading name. And they said, no, well, you have to have your contractor's license. And I'm like, yeah, I'd love you to have it too.
But that's amazing because
it's amazing.
I have a business license, and you have a business license.
But they asked him for his contractor's license.
Well, they didn't ask me for my contractor's
license. They didn't either. So maybe there's something.
Maybe they know something we don't know.
Maybe. But all I know
is. Let's cross our fingers and pray.
I don't think that's it. I'm not optimistic that I put 50. I'm very, very realism and pessimistic is really why I stick my hat. But I say that to say. Mm-hmm. It should be that way, and not to concern myself too much with, and I wanted to talk with this about the events of this week. Mm-hmm. And I want to say this in defense of what the public sees happening on Bay Street.
Right.
Let me say this in defense of them, and I have no horse in the race. I was a educator, mm-hmm. Semi with the University of Bahamas, and an academic always in my life. I'm continuing learning. The persons who are agitating on Bay Street, mm-hmm. and I don't know their whole story in the spiel. I know this about our fight, our agitation with government. Mm-hmm. If people think things just happen because you write them, you're sadly mistaken. If mm-hmm. you think things just happen because you ask nicely, mm-hmm. you're sadly mistaken. If you think things just happen because you consistently engage them, you're sadly mistaken. Unfortunately, in our culture, the way how the politician engages the general public, it's almost you have to harass and almost force them to do the thing they're elected to do. And I know that's not normal, but it is kind of normal for the Bahamas.
If the prime minister had not said that that it would have happened by September, I think he said earlier and then at the latest September.
Correct.
If he hadn't said anything at all, if he had said nothing at all, none of this would have happened. And then December would have been a wonderful surprise for everybody.
Yay!
Yeah.
And so,
I understand that.
It's one of those things. And I don't have an opinion on it either way, mm-hmm. but I just want the public to go easy on the leaders of these organizations. Debbie and I are standing in those same two shoes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, while you don't see us doing the activism that you see with the union leaders on Bay Street,
we're still doing it, though.
We engage in different ways. Mm-hmm. We get the same backlash. Mm-hmm. We get things that people are not always as kind to us as you think they should be mm-hmm. because of the position that we hold and what we're advocating for. And I need the public to appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Those people who are out there in the face of the public, they carry a lot of burden. I'm telling you, I would not want to be the presidents of those unions. No. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think we have to appreciate the position of which they hold mm-hmm. and the degree sometimes that they try to carry in trying to agitate for people's rights and what people expect. And I just want the mm-hmm. public, all us a family here, mm-hmm. to appreciate that. Right. Please appreciate leadership. It's not easy. And also, too, and I want to say this. I said to my cousin today, too, I know that the prime minister is busy. I do not think he is not.
If he was not busy, then he should not
exactly.
be the prime minister.
I'm guaranteeing. So, yes. I know he is busy. Correct. Do not think for one second the guy isn't very busy. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine being the most responsible, answerable person for 400,000 plus people who kind of know your name? That's not easy.
No.
Your phone constantly rings. People constantly bump you everywhere mm-hmm. and ask you, and remember if you remember this. And I know it's a lot. Yeah. So I want also the public to appreciate that he's human.
Yeah.
He's going to forget that he even made promises. He's going to forget that I told someone I would do this thing. Mm-hmm. That's the nature of leadership. It's difficult. So both sides should appreciate that we're dealing with people, man. We're dealing with people.
We just agitate differently. We do. And I agitate differently.
A little different.
We would never.
I'd like to go storming down Bay Street.
Oh, I
just don't
I would
think
never
that that's
do
gonna
that.
Happen.
I could never. I would never do that.
I'd like to, but I just won't because I just know it won't happen.
No, I just.
So I'm okay with that.
To me, you're not proving a point other than the fact that you can gather a bunch of people.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you're really doing. You know.
Yeah.
Because are they going to get a change? Is something going to happen?
No. It is a show as much as a show of strength and what's not.
Right. Well, but they've shown that.
Yeah.
But we show it. We show it in our own way with the association.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think everyone wants the best for the country. Debbie, all of us, we go about a different. I often look at the way, and I'm very impressed. Organizations like Org do things, and then they're never going to be Org's never going to be picketing and do. I get it, and they're very effective too. So, don't measure an organization's effectiveness by how many people you see behind them. The chamber is a good example too. You're never going to see the Chamber of Commerce and Dr. Leo Rule and the presidents doing that either. But I can tell you, they work tirelessly, engaging the administration, engaging stakeholders, and consistently trying to
and
get
the government
things accomplished.
As well.
And and so it's not always that. But I want to in this space say that there's a room, there's space for what they're doing too. Yes. Let's never look at that as wrong. Because we have a right to express a grievance with people who we elect to lead us. As Bahamians, we should never lose sight of the right to express a grievance. And I tell people all the time, outside of here and outside my other life, I argue a lot on Facebook. It's kind of a pastime. I enjoy doing it. I do it all the time. And
you do that in real life, Facebook,
I do it
too.
In real life, but I really do it on Facebook. I go, random people, engage them.
I'm going to have to go on your Facebook page.
Oh, go on
it.
You'll have a hoot. I'll tell you that. Sit down, though. You should sit down, because some of the things I say. But I say it because the inalienable right, Debbie. Debbie, you have on a black blouse and a brown and black pants.
Yeah.
You chose that.
Yeah.
I may not like that.
That's correct.
And you know what? That's fine. That's your right.
Right.
I have a fundamental difficulty with people having a problem with someone else's right to express their opinion about anything. Because it's a right.
Yeah.
You may not like the fact that children have to wear uniform. And you could express that. But until you get the position to change the fact that they wear uniform, you could express your view. They're going to wear uniform.
Costs less money if you have uniforms. You know, otherwise, you're using your regular clothes every day.
I have a good friend who's on a wicket, and he does not think it makes any sense, and that's his right. And there's the opposite side to that who think that makes a lot of sense, that I could easily identify someone who is in of school age, who should be in school, and maybe they're not where they are.
Right.
So there's logics on both sides. So before we stray too far from it, I think that we have to understand the beauty of our democracy. The beauty of our democracy says that we don't all have to agree, but we all have to agree to disagree. That's the beauty of our democracy, and I can rest that there.
Yeah.
Now, for construction.
Ah.
For construction today. You know, I got pulled into this wonderful news bit that I heard on Guardian Radio about the solar energy from independent power producers Q2 2027. And this is the space that Debbie spends more time in than I do.
Yeah, and
I was only interested in it because A, they mentioned a 20 megawatt power generating facility at one particular site, and that BPL it has signed a contract with them to produce power, and thereby purchase power agreement from them. And the only reason why I was drawn to it is because I did a model before on a 20 megawatt power generation plant. And I can tell you, it costs a lot of money. It does. And also, the kind of solar farm that they're proposing requires 92 acres of land. And they have a site identified, and it's off the airport road near Coal Harbor. And so all these wonderful things popped up today. And I know we didn't give it an opportunity to reach out to the players involved and have a more in-depth conversation. But I thought, Debbie, when he talked earlier today, it's important for us to kind of set the parameters, at least, for the public to understand, A, why, and what could be the impact? So now we're going to steer into your corner. The energy, first of all, the framework of why the Bahamas should be interested in generating power other than diesel fuel burning.
What? Other than the reason that we've committed ourselves to the Paris Agreement.
That's the reason I wanted to tell the public why. Okay. That's the why.
All right. So basically, back in 2015, when they were at COP, we
COP
signed.
COP what? What is the COP what in 2015?
It would have been 2000 COP 20 COP 19. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I can't remember right now. But basically, we signed on and we said that we would do like all the other countries 190 something countries.
We agreed
that we would reduce our energy. And we would add 30% of our energy would
in
be
renewables.
In renewables.
Yes,
in
that was
renewables.
A commitment that the Bahamas
that
government made
right.
as a part of COP, whatever it was, right. whatever it's COP 19 or COP 15.
Yeah.
But we signed an agreement as a part of the nations that agreed to it.
We did.
And let's put a piggyback. Let's put a parking lot right here.
Mm-hmm.
We are from that date. We're trying to honor an agreement we made.
Correct.
That's all it is. We're honoring an agreement. It's like, Debbie, you said to me, Leonard, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to reduce your energy consumption by 30%.
Right.
I can tell you what, Debbie, I'm going to look to you to reduce my consumption by 30%. I'm going to be mad at you.
I know how to do that.
Exactly.
Good. I can do that.
So
for
that's
you.
What I want.
Right.
So we made an agreement that we're going to do that.
Right.
So now these steps are part of that.
So what's happened, though, is there's been so much talk and no action.
And no action from 2015.
Well, don't forget, our energy policy was done in 2014, 2013, 2014, right? So it's been since then where we signed on. That was our energy policy, which put into it that we would do reduce our energy consumption
on fossil fuels by 30%.
By 30% to honor our agreement with the parent. Now, that's 4 years from now.
It is.
And we're nowhere near. But if you listen...
2027 is 2027?
That's when those are going to be done.
Okay, I'm just
right.
saying.
I'm just saying. Yeah. So, okay. So if you listen to the contribution that the Minister of Energy did...
Madam Jewell,
right,
Colby Davis.
And if you go to her, I think it's about 43 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think it's 43 minutes. If you go there and listen to what she's talking about everything that the government is doing now with it. They have the new energy and transport ministry.
Ministry, yeah.
So they've talked about doing the family islands forever.
Mm-hmm.
They're finally going to do the family islands. It'll be solar. It'll be LNG.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be the regular diesel that that they have for now. Eventually, those will get eliminated, and the other ones will stay. And then they are also doing the 60 megawatt here. We're doing three different...
320 megawatts.
Three different megawatts.
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing one behind in the Blue Hills... right behind BPL there.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing one that is in
Coral Harbor. And the other one, I believe, is by BPL main plant off South.
It's by C.V. Bethel, somewhere by C.V. Bethel.
In the south?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So those are the three that they're going to do. And, I didn't bring my books with me with all my information.
No, we didn't know we should talk about all this.
Anyway, so basically what she was calculating was how many megawatts with all of the family islands and everything that they're doing and everything that they've already done, and plus what the private sector is doing, because private sector has been leading it, to be perfectly honest.
Especially on the family islands.
Yes,
power generation.
Yes, yeah. Because... you know, the person's
clean
there.
Clean power generation, I would say.
Right. And because when they, you know, in the family island, you would buy enough property to actually have your solar on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, to run a house, you're not going to be able to put it, unless you've got a massive house, you wouldn't be able to get enough panels on
a roof to
produce the power that you're going to need 24/7.
And
you're also going to have battery backup and all that kind of stuff, right? So the... You know, there's been major, you know, there was one island in the Barrys that did like, I think it was 4 megawatts, and one Exuma.
I know for sure there's Over Yonder Key.
There is Hybern Key.
What's the other one off the Exumas too? Norman's Key.
Norman's Key as well. All of those. Yeah. So if you add them all up, you know, you might get like 10 megawatts from something like that. But, well, it's based on your what your consumption is.
Total consumption.
Then you have to take 30% of that.
Of that.
And that's what you have to make up.
Let's see if we could find out what the total consumption, power consumption is for the country is. Let's see. We make it find it. But continue.
Yeah. So that's basically where it all comes from. And we're now realizing that we can't keep talking about it, and we really have to do something about it. And there's penalties to not making deadlines. It's not just, okay, well, we said we're going to sign into it like we would sign into if they're going to do a we don't want persons to build in such and such an area. We'll sign on this agreement with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, this is an agreement that we've made as a country.
As a country.
And yes, as part of the United Nations. Mm-hmm. And we just can't walk away from something like this. So this is their big push to try to
meet
this in four years' time.
Goals.
Right.
And so that's important for us to understand why.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's other reasons too, but part of what I don't see us do a good job of us and all the deliberating in parliament, you know what I miss?
Mm-hmm.
I miss the why all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about this.
There's a bunch of talking, but why are you doing this?
Why? Okay. Why? The whys are, you know, the last couple of weeks and we've had like 3/4 of our island was flooded.
Mm-hmm.
Has that ever happened ever before? Never.
Never.
Never. Because climate change. Okay.
So, President Trump said climate change is a hoax.
Anyway,
I'm just messing with you.
So
I know he's your favorite guy for some reason.
Climate change is alive and well and living in the Bahamas.
Oh, I know it is.
And you realize that the main of the Bahamas is 3.5
meters.
Is it
higher or lower than sea level?
It's four feet.
Yeah,
it's 4 feet.
Four feet.
That's basically most of the islands are 4 feet, right?
Above sea level. Yes,
which is nothing.
Yes.
You get a rough storm and everything on the coast gets nailed.
Just about a meter point something above sea level.
Yes, 1.3 meters. 1.3 meters. Like
yeah,
yeah,
above sea level.
1.5 meters because I did the calculation today. So we cannot continue to use Bunker C and create greenhouse gas emissions, although they're not affecting us and they're not affecting the world because we're so small.
Yeah.
But if we don't do that, but we're asking other countries to
they're
do
gonna
it,
look at us very hypocritical.
Then they're going to say, "Well, you know, you can't talk on both sides of your mouth, man. You got to, you got to walk the walk and talk the talk.
Why don't you do what we're doing? But you can't say, hey, you do it, but we're not doing it.
But so what'll happen is we actually have opportunities through different funding where we can actually go and apply to these countries for money because they are destroying
our country.
Because
our environment.
Right. Because if you think about
it, not affected.
We have cruise ships and we have freighters that come through the Bahamas. Mm. We have planes that fly over us, you know.
All
so
day.
We've got all of these things where we have carbon emissions.
Mm-hmm.
You can drive anywhere in Nassau you want to, and you're going to see black roofs because of all the carbon that's on the roofs. You're going to see our reefs are dying.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are happening because of fossil fuels. So we need to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm. Clearly.
And it's not like we're just trying to make everything difficult for everybody. We're not. We're basically trying to make things easier for people. So if we can switch to LNG, which is a cleaner fuel, it's still a fracked fuel that you get out of the earth.
It's cleaner.
And it's very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
Very inexpensive.
Well, be careful with that inexpensive, because the first time they give me a bill in this plentiful, I'm going to remind them that Debbie said, and we are doing a lot of LNG plants coming up, and I don't want me and I'm the good minister to get in problems because Debbie said LNG is inexpensive. So if I got a bill based on the fuel and it's LNG and it's expensive, we're going to have a big problem that day.
Back in 2015, the chamber paid for us to go to Jamaica to see the LNG plant, the new LNG plant that was there.
And how was that?
That Fortress Energy put in. Mm-hmm. And I got to meet Kelly Tomlin, who was the head of Jamaica Power Supply. Mm-hmm. I took with me Clint Watson and his photographer. Mm-hmm. I took with me Kyle Walkeen and his photographer and somebody else. There was five or six of us that went, right? And we only went for the day. We went Friday.
For a day?
We went one day.
Wow.
And we came back the next day.
Wow.
Right? But we went to see this. Mm. And, you know, we got the figures of how much everything cost. We actually walked to this plant that was absolutely, totally clean. I also went through the one in Miami. You can walk through barefoot if you want to. There's no emissions anywhere. There's no emissions anywhere. It is totally clean.
Have you visited Clifton Pier?
Oh, that's a mess.
Yeah.
I know, but that's what I'm telling you. I'm not just talking about this stuff, and I haven't really investigated it. Even when I went to Barbados, I went to Barbados, BBSQ sent me there for ISO training, and I took off one lunchtime, and I went to see the plant there because Barbados used to have LNG. They don't any longer because the wells dried up. So they actually had to bring in ISO containers, which is what we're going to have to do here.
Bring ISO containers for LNG.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I went there because I wanted to see, well, how did they make the transition? So I spoke with the gentleman. I was there for a couple hours talking with him. I'm like you. If I see something that I want to do and I have a passion for it, I do not stop.
No,
right.
I'm going full steam ahead.
I understand what's going on, and I actually wanted to make sure that what I was talking about, I'd actually seen it and verified it. And that's what I did. And it's very important for us to not have that hot mess up there.
It's just
a hot mess. You know, it's dirty, the blowing the stacks. It's just like, you know, we're not doing anything different.
We have
this beautiful island that people all over the world want to come to because they've seen pictures from space. They've seen how beautiful and turquoise these waters are from space. They want to see it in real. Yet we're not taking care of our environment because we're lagging and lagging and lagging. And you know, it's like something like, you know, when you start realizing that you've spent way too much money and you try to fix it.
Yeah.
So you say, well, I'm going to do a little shifting here, a little shifting there. Well, it never works.
Enough.
You know, you really have to be determined that this is what you're going to do. And it doesn't matter how you're going to do it. It has to happen. And you have a team that makes sure that that happens. Yeah. Right.
So, you in your less than 10 minute, you know, presentation on this, you have given the Bahamian public more of an understanding of why we're going to spend the hundreds of millions of dollars to do what we agreed to do from 2015, and part of my sadness as a member of the public, albeit we do have the opportunity to speak in this way on public radio. When you go in Parliament, make it plain. I mean, as much as you didn't prepare for that, you gave us an understanding of why we need to do it, why we should do it, and what the benefits are.
Right.
And if you go up there and you start, we're spending $252 million on three new LNG sites that's going to be very good for the Bahamas. And then you go on to something else. I'm like,
nobody understands.
Why?
How can you understand when you don't know?
And all these learned men and women, and I don't mean to pick on y'all today. I didn't come here for that. I had a lot of things going on. Can y'all just figure out that you're talking to real people? Well, tell me what. I only want to know three things, Debbie. If you show up to my house, right? I'm going to ask you three things. What are you doing here?
Yeah.
What do you want? How may I help you?
Right.
When you go to Parliament, you're talking to people.
Right. The ministry.
Tell me what is it you're doing.
It was either the Minister of Energy or it was the CEO of BPL. One of them talked about why the bills went from, like, say, $500 to $700 just in a month.
That was the chairman of the board, chairman of BPL.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
She explained it exactly right. Mm-hmm. Basically, in the winter months when we're not using as much air conditioning and we're not creating as many megawatts of power as we would do in the summer, you're able to just run the plants at Clifton that run on the bunker seat, which is dirt cheap, but it's a horrible,
horrible,
horrible fuel. But in the summer months, because they then have to start kicking in Blue Hill, mm-hmm. which are diesel engines, mm-hmm. and diesel is very expensive. Mm-hmm. I have a diesel truck, so I have an truck. So I have, you know, diesel is very expensive. So all of a sudden, you're going from something that might cost, I'm going to use an exaggeration because I don't know.
Let's say
50 cents to $5. Mm-hmm. That's a difference. So mm-hmm. your bill has to, when they're creating the power has to be paid for, mm-hmm. and that fuel has to be paid for, and they have to pass that on. That's what those other fuel surcharges were.
But here's a point, though. If I knew... Mm-hmm. Then there's several things I have an issue with everything we're doing, not the why. I know the why. Mm-hmm. But I'm in, you know, my whole life, my career is project management, right? Mm-hmm. You tell me what it is you need to solve mm-hmm. down the road there.
Right.
I could start planning for it today.
Correct.
You're telling me we're 52, next year going to be 53.
Yeah.
We know that when this happens every single summer for 52 years. just the scope of it. For 52 years, I could have to use that really expensive. Mm-hmm. Here's my solution. Here's what Leonard Sands, a project manager professional, would do. Uh-huh. I would invest sufficient millions of dollars every year for 10 years. If you said the plant would have cost $400 million, I'd put, let's take the $400 million divided by 10 years, what is that, $40 million a year?
Yeah.
Small monies. We spent more than that on travel. Just not poking shade, yeah. But... I'd tend to $40 million a year, cipher it aside mm-hmm. or divert it aside, not mm-hmm. to be touched, mm-hmm. for replacing the plant at Blue Hills with, guess what? An LNG or solar mm-hmm. or whatever is cheaper than mm-hmm. the fuel that we're using that costs $5. Right. That's a plan. That's what I would have done. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if I was a PLP or the FNM mm-hmm. or the COI or whomever. Things only need to be thought about in terms of what's the problem. How do I solve the problem
right.
when it's time to right. solve it?
Right.
We got a call here. Let's take this first call. Let's get a couple of minutes for that. So that's how I approach things.
Oh, now he's there.
So approaching things to me isn't like, oh, we got a Paris Agreement. We need to do something. Oh, we need to get the bills are going up. We need to give them a credit. Oh,
well,
you knew this was going to happen.
Of course, you know, because I'm into this BPL thing, I have all my BPL bills going back to 1990.
I got mine from
96 or something.
I got mine
like
from 2018 to 2026.
Yeah, well, I've got mine way back.
Yeah, I'm like you.
And I checked, and I checked to see when we started actually paying a fuel surcharge, and that wasn't until, like, I don't know, 2008. 2005, maybe 2008, when we started mm-hmm. paying a fuel surcharge. Before then, there was no fuel surcharge. And I got to be honest, when I got my bills this summer, and my bills are generally like maybe $280, $300 mm-hmm. in the winter, and maybe $500 in the summer, it was like $870.
Yeah, showing my club. Mine was $845.
I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And of course, this is, you know, we've already had life happen to us. Mm-hmm. And so I mean,
yeah.
money was tough. But I thought, man, this is crazy. But she explained it so well that everybody can understand why it's more money. And unfortunately, that shouldn't really be our fault.
But it
becomes our fault. Now we have a caller.
Let's take this caller. Call you live. Go ahead.
Hello, good evening, Sir Leonard Sands.
Good evening. I've not been knighted yet, and I probably refuse to knight it, but anyway, go ahead.
He won't be able to keep the headphones on now with his head that big.
And Debbie Deb.
Mm-hmm, Debbie Deb.
Debbie Deb, who always brings sings music to my ears.
There you go.
I chimed in on the station when she was when she was talking about this LNG.
Mm-hmm.
And I endorse everything that she's saying, because when you speak about LNG, and she said that they made a trip down to
Barbados and Jamaica.
Right. And that and to me, it makes hotcake like a prophet or a king, because wasn't he, Leslie Prophet Miller,
mm-hmm.
the one who was pushing for LNG more than 10 years ago when he was in government, wasn't it? Right? And they ignored him.
So it was where he was getting it from. That was the problem. It had nothing to do with the actual fuel itself. It was where he was getting it from, because it was going to be a lot of political stuff that was going to be attached to it. That was the problem.
You mean from somewhere down south?
Yes. South America, Venezuela.
Yes. We would, and you know what? The other countries in the Caribbean that actually took it ended up losing their shirts. And that's a fact.
Okay.
So we were lucky that it did not happen.
Yeah, well, see, if we were going to get supply from one country, you don't do that, and you have two suppliers, whatever, and if one falls off, the other one could pick up the slack.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, now we're realizing, like you say, the beautiful Bahamas with all the LNG, because it also plays into what when y'all were talking about the paint last week, and then we talk about the flooding, and I had mentioned on some show just a couple of weeks ago that we ought to be going to rainwater tanks, and I think it was on the show.
Yeah, we need
too,
to go back to and, that for
and,
sure.
And adopting what they do in Bermuda, because, you know, those white roofs, the roof of those house painted white is for a reason to get, you know, the rainwater to run into water tanks under the floor of the houses.
Right. Also, the white reflects the heat, so that's another reason that they do that.
Right. And they don't use that these tar paper, because when I was in Kiaki, when I got out of college in the 80s, you know, some of the rules were being, that's where I sort of understand what it was all about. When they construct the roof of a house, they were doing it Bermuda style.
Bermuda roofs, yeah.
Yeah, the Bermuda roof. So we don't do that here, and all of this tar paper and all of this, we don't need that, because all that is heat.
That's just,
understand.
That's a fossil. That's all it is a fossil fuel. And you know that it's hot, right? Because if you've ever walked on an asphalt road barefoot, you can imagine the heat from that asphalt on your roof, right?
And in Kiaki and Bimini, the roads, we use golf carts there, and the pathways are made out of concrete. And when you look at it down in Colombia and Venezuela, some of the roads and most of the roads, they use bricks.
Cobblestone.
All this tar that doesn't cater to the environment, the Haymans need to understand the sort of stuff. And, you know, I sort of feel for the people in Pinewood, because when you excavate the bottom of the floor, when you excavate the floor, like when you build, you two genius in construction knows that building pools can be built in a swamp land. I mean, not swamp land, but high water mark areas like in Sea Beach Estate. Out west, I had my heavy equipment and was doing work out there. And the pools are built there. And once you encase the pool, nothing really comes inside the pool. And if you can do a pool in high water areas like that, that can be water tanks, or not even all of the foundation under the floor. A portion of that can be like what we call it, basement.
Cistern.
Or a room area under the floor. A portion of it can be used for rainwater tanks. It serves for everybody. That's where we didn't need to be cutting out all of our hills here in Nassau.
Well, that just annoys the crap out of me, cutting down our hills.
But the LNG, Debbie, Deb, you know, that's when I chimed in listening to you. And we need to know, because even with the solar paneling, you know, because I have a plan to, you know, really get into that and bring them in. Because when you look at it, let me just say, in Crooked Island and Athens, Long Key has 5 people.
Wow.
Really residing permanently on Long Key.
Wow.
And they're burning BPL generator every day. Now, that's a waste of money, because they really don't make any money for most of those families.
No.
The BPL, and they did not change it over the years. So we have to look at it from a micro management point and a macro. And now they're trying to sell it to us as if they're doing it, you know, they're doing it in these plants, and they, you know, like I've been saying on the radio, they cut up BPL like it's a pizza and serve slices there to their cronies or their friends, and then they want to sell shares, and it doesn't make sense. So for the Bahamian most of the people in the inner cities, we have to, you know, try and teach them on your show that they can build their solar system in their own homes on three panels a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's my contribution to your show.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Y'all have a nice day.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
He reminded me of something that I wanted to tell everybody about. Invented, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's an invention. But if you could imagine a baby gate, you know what baby gates are, mm-hmm, right? So they kind of go from one wall to the next to make sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what I did is I made the tracks. You can buy them at Nassau Glass. They're, mm-hmm, they're double track for if you're going to have sliding glass doors, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have the bottom track, and then mm-hmm, you have two side tracks going up. You mm-hmm 45 it on the corner. Mm-hmm. And you make it, so if the water comes in your house, let's say at 6 inches, mm-hmm, you make it a foot, or you make it a foot and a half at the top, right? So you make that.
So
and then what you do, you either get a piece of sheet metal, mm-hmm, or you get a piece of plywood that you've waterproofed. And you put that in, you slide that in so the water can no longer get into your house. Mm-hmm. And then the door opens in, you have to put it on the outside. If the door opens out, you have to put it on the inside. Mm-hmm. And you do it at both of your doors. And mm-hmm, you do it so that you can still open the door and you can still walk over to get out of the house, mm-hmm, but you don't have the water coming in your house. And it works. I have tried it. Yes, it works.
You have to silicone the sides too.
When you put it on, you put it on either on one side of the doorstop or the other side of the doorstop, because that's basically where it would go, right? That way you have it, it's basically sealed by
the
doorstop.
But if the water comes up 6 inches, you definitely have to have silicones all the way around the whole thing, because that's going to hold back the water if you don't have silicone.
I mean, it works.
It works,
because whatever you put in, it's a tight fit, because mm-hmm, you're not going to put something that's wiggly jiggly, because the water can push that away. It has to be a tight fit, but mm-hmm, it works. And it'll save people from having their houses. Because you know what? Insurance companies aren't going to keep paying over and over and over for flooding.
No. We got to take a first commercial break, and we'll be back right after these messages.
Okay.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at Storm Frame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and energy limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
When you're building renovation projects, our goal, go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Nailed It on Guardian 96.9 FM. We're going to give a shout out to all our sponsors who contribute to the show and make us look good by keeping us on the air. So, Debbie, you want to take that away?
Yes, they do. Yes, we're very thankful for them because otherwise, like Leonard said, we would not be here.
No.
So we have ART Development. We have Bahamas Safety Solution. We have Family Guardian. Bahamas Development Bank. I sat beside Samaya Cargill yesterday, actually, and Sherwin-Williams. So thank you very, very, very much for supporting us, and we appreciate you and appreciate having you on our show and being able to talk about your products, so for that as well.
Thank you. So, Debbie, continuing with this whole idea about renewable energy, and again, I think we're very thankful that we have some information about it. We have an appreciation why we've always known that we can't continue to burn fossil fuels. Mm-hmm. We've always known that the cost to the environment and also to the public treasury by burning fossil fuels never goes down, always goes up. One of the things I would like us to see is that the government of Bahamas go solar. Now, it won't happen 1 year. But for your children's children, mm-hmm. what's your youngest grandkid's name?
Cameron, he's nine.
Nine. Mm-hmm. When Cameron is 30, mm-hmm. and this is where I had a conversation with my cousins, and I looked at it like this.
You do know solar panels don't last forever. They have to be replaced.
That's fine.
Okay.
But that's fine.
Yeah.
But I compared the Bahamas' progress this way. Mm-hmm. My grandparents and I... Mm-hmm. And children after me and grandchildren are still using the same mode of public transportation. That speaks to the progress in public transportation. None.
Correct.
Okay? Cameron should not be talking about with his children my BBL bills being high because we're still burning Bunker C and whatever we're using at BBL plant. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
The point is, it's okay that we're here now, mm-hmm. but there have to be a plan to transition to something better for the next generation. You've always said we all won't be alive to enjoy the shade of the trees we plant, mm-hmm. but we have to leave from this place appreciating that the shade will exist someday.
Right. Then what we have to do with this new thing that we're going to do, this renewable energy and all of these plants that we're going to do, is I know the country doesn't like the word maintenance, and most of us don't even know how to do it. Right?
Clearly, it's evidenced by the things they don't maintain.
Solar panels have to be cleaned. They have to be washed. You have to make sure they do. They have to be cleaned.
Wow.
You also have to make sure that they are embedded properly into the ground so that a hurricane will not lift them up and take them away. Wind will go through it. It'll go up and over, but you know, you've got to make sure that the poles don't come out.
And
you also need to make sure that they don't get stolen.
Listen.
I mean, there's a lot of things that are involved
so
in having
we're going to make these hundreds of millions of dollars investment, and then we have to maintain the hundreds of millions of dollars investment.
Well, you'll build a $100 million building. You should be maintaining that, but do we know? But yes, you have to. Because the building that you build for $100 million that you don't maintain is not creating power for the people.
No.
The solar is creating power for the people. So that maintenance and security and all of those things are going to... And I, of course, they may already be in there. Who would know? I don't know.
No.
Right?
But they may.
But
hopefully they are.
Yes. I mean, but I'm just saying these are things that the average person wouldn't think about when you're thinking about a solar farm. Farm.
Yeah.
You know?
And also you will need someone to maintain the grounds of the solar farm to make sure that the grass doesn't grow up and doesn't overgrow. And I mentioned that because... this is the point you made about maintenance. It's so frightening, our lack of maintenance. Now, anyone who's familiar with Flamingo Gardens would happen to be the constituency of Carmichael. I tell my Mr. Bell that we build these things. We don't maintain them. I only remember the water treatment plant that exists inside the Flamingo Gardens area. Because I remember there was a great discussion when government changed about the fact that the contractor for that water treatment plant had no prior experience, got the contract awarded. The contract, which was, let's say, at the time was for $2 point something million. It finished at $5 point something million. Here's the kicker. Mm-hmm. If you go there today, Debbie, you can't get in the property of the water treatment plant that's only sitting on a lot that's 100 by 250 because it's totally overgrown.
Oh, wow.
No one has cut the grass in about 6 years.
So then I could almost say then that the plant is not in operation then.
It's in operation.
It is.
Thankfully, it's just a water treatment plant that works by itself. You can't get in the yard.
But how would you get in there if there's to do any maintenance with
it? You can't.
Oh, wow.
So I say that to say we speak to our absolute failure as a government. It's not us.
Yeah.
Debbie, Leonard, the citizens in Flamingo Gardens have no responsibility to maintain the grounds of the water treatment plant. But the persons who do, who have a job to do that, the leadership that's responsible for ensuring the job gets done, who don't do that, and I sad to say, Mr. That's in your court.
Right.
You gotta just drive past one day and say, hey, who's the guy I'm paying to keep the grounds clear on this water treatment facility?
Well, I believe that these systems that are being done, the solar systems that are solar. I'm saying it like I'm the solar system, but the projects that are being done are going to have to be maintained by
the private sector, the persons
who are hired to do
the
it.
The government of Obama
are the ones. I think they have
the capacity. And,
I haven't seen the contracts, but I would assume that the persons that have been chosen have like a 20-year
agreement.
And with
I
them,
and Debbie,
which
say
is
this,
thank God.
I have no doubt that the private citizens who they engage.
Mm-hmm.
The contractor and contracted the purchase power agreement will do the job.
Yeah.
I have no doubt.
Correct. Private sector drives things like that. Because we don't work for somebody who will give us a pension and give us all this kind of stuff. We work for ourselves.
We have to make it work.
We have to make it work.
Yeah.
So we can't sit still on it. We have to move.
And make sure it gets done.
Because otherwise we don't survive.
We don't survive.
Yeah.
Let's take this next caller. Call you live. Go ahead.
Yes. Hello again. Debbie Deb. I'm calling back because I'd like to get your number. You said about that baby gate thing that you created.
Yeah, you created the baby gate. The baby gate.
Yeah. My number is 557-4845.
557-4845.
Yes, I could do a drawing for you and send it to you. I could tell you where to get the materials and all that kind of stuff.
I have a friend and a mother right in Ridgeland Park, just that little weather we had last week, where they got some flooding. I mean, they always get flooding, but they got flooding up to the ankle when I, spoke with them and a couple other people.
Yeah,
that's 4845 for your number.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, these are good stuff you all talk on the show.
Thank you.
That's what we try to do. We're always trying to help people. If we know something, why wouldn't we share it?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to take it to the grave.
Because the idea you're saying was stopping the flooding from coming in the house.
Correct.
Like in 2013, 14, when it had that serious king tide flood out east.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got flooded out.
Yeah.
I had a similar thought like that and was trying to share it with my 10 girlfriends, sister, them. They had to move out of the house to the back windows and go to the neighbor's yard.
Yeah.
Their whole house flooded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying, but, you know, 48, 45, I'll contact you.
Okay.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks.
What I also want to suggest, too, and this is just a free tip.
Mm-hmm.
A free tip for persons. I know persons who would have had flooding into their homes.
Mm-hmm.
And a number of persons may have flooding in their homes through, whether it's in Pinewood or East or what's not. Let me give you a tip. If you can't keep the water out, and it will come in, getting the water out very quickly is the next best thing. Go and buy a half horsepower pump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've one for the swimming pool.
Yeah. Half horsepower pump maybe cost you $250 at most, which is you
figure
it out.
But if the water outside is the same height as the water inside.
We're assuming that the water outside is not as high as the water inside, but somehow if you're living in those areas where you're in Pinewood, people splash this water and it comes into your home, and it's not a whole lot of water.
Right.
But you could get it pumped out. Yeah. Rather than waiting for the government to pump the street, keep a half horsepower pump inside your storage room, plug it in, put it on the floor, it pump all the water out.
Right.
And in 30 minutes, your home is dry. I know some persons who had water in their home for 3 and 4 days after the rain had stopped because they couldn't barrel it out. You couldn't bucket it out fast enough.
And the thing with that is, you know, your furniture is going to get rotten.
Yeah,
it's going to be moldy. Your baseboards, your doors are going to be no good. I mean, your cabinets are going to be ruined. I mean, The cost to redo everything on the inside of the house is probably more than the house that was built many years ago.
But again, for a lot of the persons in those low-lying areas, they have no choice. They're already built. They're already there.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford to move.
Right.
So now the thing, like my good friends at Water and Sewerage had taught me, that they have a mitigation strategy in place.
Mm-hmm.
They can't fix it all, but they only could mitigate.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're in those communities where it suffers significantly from water intrusion, your best investment would be a $250 half horsepower pump, keep in your house, extension cord.
It's teeny weeny.
You plug it in, it'll get the water fast, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Again, Debbie, you talked about it at the time, you guys were building them tower bases in water, and you had to pump out the water to build the tower base.
We had to pump out two or three days before we got the water out, before we could even put the steel in, and then continue doing it.
And those were
huge pumps.
Yeah.
But
you could do for a small area for your home. That's my suggestion for today. By everyone in the Pinewood community, on a street, you should get to get buy yourself a personal half horsepower pump.
Try to stop the water from getting in the doorways.
And or try to stop water from getting in. But if it's coming in, again, you could even find, if you put it on the outside of the porch where you know water's coming in, leave it running all day. It'll stop as much as it can. Because the flow of water in isn't as much like a rush. We can't think it's a rush.
Yeah,
it's not a rush.
No.
It creeps in slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you keep the pump on the outside, it'll keep it out. Just don't cut it off.
Yeah, just pray to God that the water doesn't go higher than your floor.
Yeah, and so those things that can work.
Yeah.
And so as we get to towards the end of the program, a couple of things we want people to appreciate. A, we have to find ways to do things smarter, cleaner, greener for our own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly,
mm-hmm.
because if we don't, we're going to suffer mostly. Secondly, we can't rely on the systems that we know fail us as something that we hope won't do what we know it will do. I know that the government of Bahamas, no government, and I'm not speaking to this administration, I'm speaking, no government of the Bahamas has successfully maintained anything they built. Look at any single structure, anywhere. Look at every building that's built.
Yeah.
And I could point to the soffits needs plants are growing out of it. Look at the Ministry of Education building. Look at the building next to it. Look at the customs building. We don't maintain things. Mm-hmm. So we know that.
Yeah.
And since we know that, we know that we're not good at maintaining things.
Right.
So what you need to do is don't follow that model. You have a home, maintain it.
Yes.
You have an investment, maintain that.
If you have a vehicle, you maintain it.
You have to maintain that.
It's the only source.
So don't learn from the experience and or the behavioral pattern of the governments of this country.
Right. And I'm tired of hearing from persons in government that buildings here are only built to last for like 35, 40 years because of how they're built. That does not make any sense.
We have buildings in this country that are hundreds of years old.
So I do not buy into the fact that because it's built with steel and built with this, I don't buy into that at all. It's because nobody has maintained it.
And that's why
we have to bulldoze the buildings because we have not done anything to take care of the buildings.
And let me say this, and I don't mean this in maybe I do. Let me say this. I don't own a Tesla. There's a reason why I don't own a Tesla. I don't own a Tesla because for me to own a Tesla, me, Leonard Sands, who studied engineering and graduated from, that's my space, right? I need to know who studied building Teslas to service my Tesla. That's why I don't own a
country.
Yeah, that's why I don't own a Tesla here.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you're going to build a. That's why the logic has to make sense to me. When you tell me you're going to build this facility and this is all high tech and then you can tell me you take some guys who flunked out of high school and they're going to be the maintenance departments on that building. That's how I can tell you that that's going to fail.
Yeah.
You can't maintain something you don't understand.
Right. Well, we had a
job. I don't maintain aircrafts because I don't know how they fly and step in the air.
Right.
Hence why I don't. You understand what I'm saying? That's how things work to me.
Yeah, we had a Jaguar and we would bring in a mechanic. There was four or five of us and we'd bring in a mechanic.
From where?
The United States.
The United States.
Yeah.
Where you knew that person.
Because this was a gazillion years ago.
Trained and,
yes.
So that's why owning a Tesla or any of these brand new technologies are not attracted to me. I own a gasoline Toyota truck that most anyone could service, fix, and it, unless I really try to destroy it, it's almost indestructible.
Yeah.
People say, oh, you can get a nice fancy 2024. Yeah, I know one thing. You better know who's going to service that and who's going to fix it if something goes wrong.
Yeah.
And honestly, I could go on YouTube and fix my own truck. I wouldn't want to, but I can.
Right.
So when you think about how you want to make buildings and maintain the buildings, who's the maintenance staff?
Right.
What skill set do they have? What knowledge do they have?
Right.
And we don't think about that.
Yeah. My house is 38 years old and it's in pretty good shape.
Okay then.
You know, it has problems, but I mean every house has some kind of a problem.
Everything in life will have a problem. Mm-hmm. If you anticipate it, you plan for it.
Yeah.
And then you fix it.
Yes.
That's life.
Agreed. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, that takes us to the end of our show.
Wow.
Yeah, time goes by so quickly.
Wow.
All the phone lines are no longer able to be accessed, so it tells us the time to get out here.
It doesn't go that fast if you got a toothache.
No. So, Debbie, until next week, I'd like to thank everyone. Thank you for your contribution.
Yes.
And we will be looking out for these solar farms popping up across the island.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get some reductions in our power bills and we see a transformation of our energy. That's something
and if you have questions and need to know something, ask.
Yeah.
You know, ask. Everybody's willing to answer questions.
Yeah. Once you ask them.
Yeah. Once you ask them. Yeah.
Anyhow, that's it for today.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, and enjoy the rest of the evening. Now it's the two of us again, against the wind, against the wind. When it rains.
when your building renovation projects are go. Go Pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
Years following independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has carried out our mandate of expanding and diversifying the nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama in the north to Inagua in the south. Our clients come from all sectors of domestic industry. We are proud to support local manufacturing, technology, agricultural projects, and creative works that draw from our native heritage. We will continue to finance inter-island transport from the mailboats of yesterday to the ships of the future. Let us power the possibilities of the new economy together. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website at www.bdb.gov.bs to complete your application today.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the out islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.